Well, good morning, Harmony, and welcome to the online edition of our service. This is Pastor Stephen Baker, and today we're going to be continuing our study through Genesis in Genesis chapter 40 and verses 1 through 23, talking about dreams of Egypt. Dreams of Egypt. And we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and we want to remember folks in our church who are sick, and those who are fighting cancer, and those who are dealing with other things. And we want to pray for Miss Myrtle and Clyde, and we want to pray for Miss Lois and for Joe. We want to pray for Miss Virginia. We want to pray for Roger and Carol. We want to pray for Dennis. We want to pray for all those who are working and those who are having a hard time during this coronavirus and this epidemic and some of the economic uncertainty and everything that's going on. And we want to pray for them. We want to pray for Steve and Cindy and Andy Crafton, and we want to pray for John and Carolyn, and we want to pray, of course, for Bob and Miss Shirley. We just want to pray for all our church members, everybody in the church, and we also want to pray for other churches that are meeting and those that are being persecuted, even here in the United States, because they want to meet. And the government, there's a church in California where the government's fining them an exorbitant amount of money because they want to meet. They're observing social distancing and sanitation and all those things, but still, they don't want them to meet in the building, and they won't let them have enough people outside in order to have a meeting there. And so they are fighting that in California and other places. And some churches are choosing to just meet online. We want to pray for them as well, that God would bless and work in all these situations. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray you'd forgive me for my sins. I pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach, and these that are saved as they hear. We pray if anyone listening is not saved, that you would save their soul. We pray for all those who are sick, those fighting cancer. We pray for doctors and nurses, and we just pray for strength. We pray for wisdom for pastors and churches to know what to do. And we pray for those that are fighting these struggles. And we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. Well, we are talking about dreams of Egypt. And of course, Joseph, when we last left him, has been sold by his brothers into slavery. He's been taken down to Egypt. He's been bought by Potiphar, who is a high official in Pharaoh's military or police force. And now he's in Pharaoh's house. And as we studied the last time, he was in Potiphar's house. And as we studied the last time, Potiphar's wife actually lied about him and said that he tried to do some inappropriate things to her, when it was really her that was trying to do inappropriate things with him, and he said no. And so Potiphar put him into his jail. Potiphar had a jail at his house where he would house high officials, political enemies, and so on and so forth, and he put Joseph into that jail. And so we're going to find Joseph in jail and learn what happened while he was there. So, dreams of Egypt. And the first thing we see is the offenders in verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. Now, these are not just a butler and a baker, but they are the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers. So the chief of the butlers would have been in charge of the cup bearing. He would have carried the king's cup, and therefore he would have had a very important position testing the drink to make sure it wasn't poisoned. And he would have also, because he was the chief of the butlers, he would have been in charge of the king's vineyards. And so he would have had many, many officials underneath him. So he was a very important person, and he would have been a close advisor of Pharaoh. But he had done something to offend Pharaoh, been accused of something, and he was locked up awaiting trial. Again, the chief baker, the chief of the bakers, was not just a baker, but he was in charge of providing the Pharaoh's household with food. And he was a very important official and would have also been a counselor to Pharaoh. And he had also been implicated in something. Perhaps there was a coup underway against Pharaoh and they were implicated. Maybe it was a plot to assassinate Pharaoh. We don't know what it was, but at any rate, these people were very important and they were put into this prison. And it was the same place where Joseph was bound. And the Bible says, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. Now, the captain of the guard here is Potiphar. And Potiphar obviously trusted Joseph. I'm sure that Potiphar's wife had done what she did with Joseph with many other people. And she was not a moral and scrupulous woman. And so I'm sure that Potiphar knew that. He didn't have Joseph executed. He put him into this prison, and now he's trusting him with this responsibility, just as he had trusted him in his house to manage the household. He's trusting him to manage these two important political prisoners. And so we see the offenders, but now we see the dreams in verses 5 through 19. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" And they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." Now Joseph had dreamed dreams before, and he had been able to explain his own dreams and understand them. And now he's able to interpret their dreams. And so he uses it as an opportunity to witness for God. He says, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." And so God has, through his Holy Spirit, no doubt, assured Joseph that he's going to be able to interpret this dream and that it's going to be a witnessing opportunity. Because if he interprets the dream correctly, then these folks will believe that God is real. And so this was a very important thing, and Joseph is using this to witness for God. And by the way, this was one of the skills that Joseph had. So he used where he was at. He was in the ward, in the prison, Potiphar's prison, and he was put in this position of watching these high officials. And he was going to witness for God using a skill he had, which was dream interpretation. And that's an important lesson that we all can learn, is wherever we're at, we can use skills we have and use what God has given us as a witness for God. And you can find a way to get the gospel in and to get the truth about God, to share your testimony and use that as a witness while you work, while you carry out your work, while you use the skills that God has equipped you with. And so Joseph says, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." Now, that brings the question up, is dream interpretation for today? And there's a simple method that we can use to determine if something is for today, if it is a doctrine, a belief and teaching that the New Testament church should hold. And it's a simple formula you can use with anything. Number one, is it mentioned in the New Testament? Number two, is it introduced in the Gospels? Number three, was it practiced by the early church in the book of Acts? And number four, is it explained in the epistles? For instance, some churches believe that foot washing is an ordinance. There are foot washing Baptists. They believe it's an ordinance. Now, here's the thing. Foot washing is mentioned in the New Testament. It is introduced in the Gospels. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. But we don't see where it was practiced in the book of Acts by the early church. And it's not expounded in the epistles. There's no doctrinal treatment in the epistles on foot washing. And so, while you ought to wash your feet every day, is it an ordinance? No, it's not an ordinance. The Bible just doesn't teach that. Just because Jesus did it, that doesn't make it an ordinance for the New Testament church. Now, what about baptism and the Lord's Supper? Well, baptism and the Lord's Supper are mentioned in the New Testament. They are introduced in the Gospels. We see baptism, believers' baptism practice, and we see the Lord's Supper. They were practiced by the church in the book of Acts. The early church practiced these ordinances, and they are both expounded or explained in the epistles. We have commentary on the ordinance of baptism in the epistles, and also we have commentary on the Lord's Supper. And so, because of that, we know that baptism and the Lord's Supper are ordinances. Plus, Jesus commanded that the church observe the Lord's Supper. And in the Great Commission, he commanded us to baptize. And so we know those things. He never commanded foot washing. And you don't see those things taught as a, you don't see foot washing taught as a doctrine. Now I'm saying all this, this isn't about foot washing, nor baptism or the Lord's Supper, but I'm saying all this to lay a foundation. Is dream interpretation for today? Well, in the Old Testament, you see these fantastic dreams, and you see the dreams interpreted. But what about in the New Testament? Is it mentioned in the New Testament? Well, dreams are mentioned in the New Testament. But when dreams are mentioned in the New Testament, usually they are very simple dreams, like, for instance, introduced in the Gospels. Is it introduced in the Gospels? Well, in the Gospels, you see examples of people having dreams, like Mary and Joseph. Joseph had a dream. And you see different folks in the Gospels having dreams. But these are not fanciful, figurative dreams. They are straightforward dreams where the person is told, thus and so is going to happen, and then it happens. So it's not a dream that requires interpretation. You don't see that in the Gospels. Then, was it practiced by the early church in the book of Acts? Well, we don't see in the book of Acts where dream interpretation was practiced by the early church. The only thing we see in the book of Acts that is similar to these dreams that Joseph interpreted was when Peter was in a trance while he was praying in Acts chapter 11, and God let him know through a figurative vision that he saw that was then explained. He let him know that he wanted him to go share the gospel with a Gentile household. So Peter saw a vision that was symbolic, but it wasn't a dream. There is no dream interpretation in the book of Acts, nor in the New Testament. Is it explained in the epistles? There's no doctrinal explanation of how to interpret dreams in the New Testament church epistles or any of the New Testament epistles. And so what we see from this is that, is dream interpretation for today? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You can't take something that happened in the book of Genesis in the Old Testament and say, well, because Joseph interpreted dreams, Christians today have prophetic dreams and they should be interpreted by proper dream interpretation methods and all this. There's volumes of books written and websites and all kinds of nonsense written on this, when the truth of the matter is that the New Testament is silent on it, and we have no explanation of how to interpret dreams in the New Testament because it's not for the New Testament church. It's not a thing for us. So, is dream interpretation for today? No. No. Again, the only dreams that we see in the New Testament, in the Gospels, were straightforward dreams. You dream something, and what you dream is what happens. Not like the butler and the baker's dreams. And we're going to look at those dreams now. And first of all, there's the butler's dream. Genesis 40 and verse 9, "And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, 'In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand.'" So it was a very practical dream, yet it needed interpretation. But it was a practical dream. It had to do with what his profession had been: grapes, grapevines, and serving the cup to Pharaoh. And now we see the interpretation of the butler's dream. "And Joseph said unto him," this is the interpretation of it, "the three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former matter when thou wast his butler." And then we see Joseph's request. "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." And so Joseph interprets the dream, and he knows that the butler is going to be restored, and he's a high official, very close to Pharaoh, and a chief advisor of Pharaoh. And so he's saying, "Look, you're going to be restored. When you get restored, please remember me. I've helped you out. I've treated you kindly. Please remember me. I was stuck here unfairly. I haven't done anything wrong. Remember me." And now we see the baker's dream. Verse 16, "When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, 'I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon mine head.'" And now we see the interpretation of the baker's dream. "And Joseph answered and said, 'This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days.'" Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And so he's going to be executed and hung on a tree. Or as some would have it, he'll be impaled by a pole. But regardless, he's going to have his flesh eaten by birds. He's going to be killed and publicly displayed. And that leads us to the third thing, the dreams come true, verses 20 through 22. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. And so the dreams came true exactly as Joseph interpreted. Apparently, the butler was cleared of whatever crime he was accused of, but the baker was not cleared. Maybe he had done something, maybe he hadn't, but at any rate, he was not cleared. He was found guilty, and he was executed. And that leads us to the fourth thing the butler forgot in verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And that's where this chapter concludes, with Joseph once again meeting with profound disappointment after he has been sold as a slave and had risen to a position of prominence in Potiphar's house, and then he was accused falsely by Potiphar's wife and was thrown into jail. And then in the jail, he arose to a place of prominence. And he finally thinks he's going to get out of this situation, but the butler didn't remember. He forgot. He was so glad to get back to his position and to not be executed like the chief baker that he forgets all about Joseph. Dave Guzik said, God orders both our steps and our stops. And in this case, God was at work in the butler forgetting, because it wasn't the right time for the butler to remember. You know that as we read on, we'll find that the butler remembered at exactly the right time, when it would have the impact of moving Joseph up before Pharaoh and moving him to the second in command in Egypt, so that he could save his family. But if it had happened at this time, it would not have worked. So God orders both our steps and our stops. And God was in control of this situation, even in the butler forgetting. Now, we forget people all the time. And it's good for us to remember people. I heard a message on this one time called The Butler Who Forgot. And the whole message was on how we should remember people that have been important in our past and not forget about them. And maybe a school teacher or somebody who taught you a skill, taught you to swim, taught you this or that, somebody who is important in your life that may be older now and may feel like nobody remembers them, maybe write them a letter. Maybe pay them a visit. Give them a phone call. And let them know that you haven't forgotten. But the butler forgot. But in this case, Joseph no doubt was profoundly disappointed. But the butler's forgetting was providential, because God wanted the butler to remember at the right time. And, you know, oftentimes we desire for God to work quickly, but God desires to work thoroughly. And in your life today, and in my life today, we may feel like God is dragging his feet, that God is not doing things quickly enough. We're in a situation where we want to be delivered out of that situation, and we're praying and asking God to help, and God's not delivering us out of the situation. We can't figure out what's going on. And yet, it may be providential. Providential. In fact, it is providential. Because God, who is in control, God is trying to get you to the right place for deliverance. The right place. And sometimes immediate deliverance will not do what God wants to accomplish. But waiting for the right time, that will. And so understand that while you wait, remain faithful. Remain faithful. Don't quit church. Don't quit preaching. Don't quit pastoring, if you're a pastor. Don't quit serving God. Wait for the right time. While you're waiting, keep serving God. But the right time will come. It will come. The butler forgot, but he didn't forget forever. At the right time, at God's appointed time, the butler remembered. And we'll study that later. But understand that God will remember you too. Somebody will remember that God intends to remember. Or God will move when you think, well, he's not going to do anything. But really, he will. He'll do it at the right time. At the right time. And so, in looking at these dreams of Egypt, Joseph is in Egypt. The dreams that he had had of his family, his brothers bowing down before him, those dreams which he believed as a young man, as a 17-year-old young man, those dreams that he believed would one day be accomplished. They are going to be accomplished. They are. God gave him that dream, and it's going to happen. Joseph doesn't understand at this point in our reading how that's going to come together, how it's going to happen, what's going to happen. But Joseph has just correctly interpreted these dreams. And so he must have been thinking, well, if I got their dreams right and God showed me that, then my dream must have been right too. But I don't know how it's going to be fulfilled. And he had no idea at that point. But just as sure as the butler forgot, when God is ready, the butler's going to remember. And Joseph is going to be set free. And in your life, those who have forgotten, and you may feel like God has forgotten, but he will remember. Remember that the Bible says that God remembered Noah. Noah was in that ark, and he'd been in there a long time, and he may have felt like God had forgotten about him and his wife and his children and all those animals, but the Bible says the Lord remembered Noah. And so God will remember you. He'll remember you. Not that he's ever really forgotten you, but God's going to move one day. And when he moves, it'll be like, he's remembered me. He's remembered me. He's thought on me. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgat him. But there was a purpose in that, and there's a purpose in the situation that you're in too. Remain faithful, and God will deliver. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you've never been saved, there's no time like the present to get saved. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Don't wait until you get a special feeling. Don't wait till you're in church physically. Just ask the Lord to save you and believe on him today and be saved from your sins today. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose from the dead. And he wants to save you and forgive you and give you a home in heaven. And he'll do that the moment that you'll put your faith in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I thank you for your word. And I thank you that this story shows us that though the butler forgot, that you remembered. And we praise your name for that. We thank you that you remember us. And we pray you'll bring comfort to our hearts and assurance to those who need it right now. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen.